Welcome to the Voice Retail Podcast. My name is Michael LeBlanc, and I am your host. I believe in the power of storytelling to bring the retail industry to life. Each week, I'll bring insights, perspectives, and experiences from some of the retail industry's most innovative and influential voices. This podcast is produced in conjunction with the Retail Council of Canada. Kant Allen and Jim Okemer, co-founders of the successful Global E-Commerce Leaders Forums and Community, are back on the podcast, sharing their experience and providing us with a timely update on the state of cross-border and global e-commerce, including a view to China, Europe, LATAM, and where retailers and brands should focus when looking for international growth. Let's listen in now. All right, gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to the Voice Retail Podcast. We're here at the big NRF show. Kant and Jim, welcome back to the podcast. You've both been on the podcast several times. How are you doing?
Doing well. Great to be back. You know, great to be back in New York, you know, for the big NRF, you know, show. Yep. We've kind of missed it over the past few years, I think. As we were saying last night, it's so good to see some friends that we haven't in a while. So.
Yeah, it's great to see you and see everyone. Kant, how are you doing?
I agree with Jim. It's great to be back in New York. We're up top at the Overview, looking out at Manhattan, which is a nice new element to the Javits Center. Yeah,
that's right. We're in the new North Building on the fourth floor. Last time three of us was together was at the show in September here in New York, but we've got another show coming up. Another show coming up in L.A.
Yep.
What's different other than, you know, the obvious? It's in L.A. It's different than New York. Well, what's different about this one and as we go to L.A. and the West Coast? You mentioned the West Coast community. Talk about that.
Yeah, so, you know, a couple of things that we've been seeing recently in L.A. Certainly we continue to cover all things that are leading to global D2C growth. Cross-border e-commerce has been a topic of ours since the very beginning.
Yeah, that's the central thread through all of this. I mean, that stays consistent.
Right, but I think what we're hearing from our community, I'll let Jim talk a little bit about the format, some format tweaks that we're doing, but D2C blew up so much during the pandemic, and so many people had to focus on that as borders were closed and stores were closed, that a lot of people are coming back to their traditional international distribution partners, whether they're, you know, own channels or non-owned channels, franchisees, things like that. So the theme of the event this year is scaling the customer experience or scaling customer engagement globally, if you will. And part of that scaling is really continuing to talk about what's it take to serve global consumers through the D2C channel. But it's more than just D2C. We're talking really starting the day off with a, you know, kind of our executive leaders keynote panel, which really sets the tone for the day. We'll be talking about how brands are working with their international wholesale distribution partners, how they're selling through international marketplaces. So we continue to prioritize and focus on that whole global D2C message, how to enable cross-border e-commerce, but scaling international growth, you have to look at the role of digital throughout all the different channels. So that's probably the biggest what's new or what's the evolution of the conversation.
Okay. Now, I did jump ahead. For those listeners who may not have heard our prior podcast, talk a little bit about yourself. Like, what's your background and what do you do other than, like, how did you develop your expertise as in this global e-commerce cross-border stuff? And what's your background?
Yeah, it's been interesting. We've really been, you know, God, Jim, we've been following this international space since 2007, 2008. Really kind of came out of actually some stuff that we were doing with our other co-founder, Scott Silverman, when he was back running shop.org. There was an executive symposium, and that was really back when the stores and online were still trying to, you know, play well together. And one of the threads that came out of that symposium was, you know, what about global? What about the World Wide Web? Shouldn't we be planning
the worldwide part of that sentence, right?
The WW. So, you know, we were like, okay, well, yeah, we should look at this. And, you know, I think we published that first benchmark study back, what was it, 2007? Looking primarily at Amazon and eBay. They were really the big players international at the time. And so, you know, as an industry analyst, I've been continuing to follow the space. You know, a lot of my time now is dedicated to the Gulf community, whether it's going around the country having small dinners and some smaller format events, or, you know, LA is typically in February if, you know, we don't run into pandemics and things like that.
Yeah.
And our LA event, I mean, New York event has always been late September. This year it's October 12th, so we'll be back in New York then. So, yeah,
we've already got the date for that one.
And so, you know, what we like to say at Gulf is that the conversation starts on stage and extends throughout the day. And, yeah, Jim, maybe talk a little bit about, you know, what we've been hearing from some of our community members about peer discussions and things like that.
And about yourself first. So, Jim, you would be a very familiar voice to listeners of The Voice of Retail. Who are you? What do you do?
We've gone go back so far last night, even as we were talking to some people. You know, how many years have we known each other?
It's
been a pleasure for us to kind of, you know, really build this, you know, global e-commerce, you know, community over the years, and even picking up a little bit on some of the threads. You know, Kent, you know, was referring to the distribution, you know, channels, a global opportunity, I think, really is something that we're hearing from a lot of the, you know, the bigger brands that have, I think, changed their international strategies over the years. That's kind of what I find interesting right now is where the bigger brands are kind of taking a look at, you know, how they've either partnered, you know, with licensees or franchisees in certain markets. What is that role of, you know, the digital channels, and what's the business model that underlies it? Should we be kind of serving, you know, international or overseas, you know, consumers through inventory that might be, you know, based in our home market, for example?
Yeah, is it easier to move it from here to there or there to there, so to speak, base it there? Now, the other thing you should probably chat about is what you do in addition to Gulf. You're with a fantastic retail consulting agency.
Yeah, I'm a partner at McMillan Doolittle, a long-time retail strategy consulting firm. And we've had lots of interesting opportunities, you know, recently to kind of take a digital-first approach to new store concept, you know, development work. Certainly, we've been doing a lot on the customer experience, you know, side. So that's where my worlds start to kind of, you know, converge a lot, because, you know, that's such a common theme, you know, within Gulf as well. And especially when, you know, we are talking kind of an international customer experience that has so many localization, you know, elements. And I think that's something we'll always kind of continue to do. But
fantastic.
Yeah, the consulting side certainly, you know, kind of, you know, works, you know, really well together, you know, in terms of, you know, where we see things, you know, trends happening around the world, and how do they apply? I mean, that, I think, was one of the most popular sessions we had in our last New York event, was just talking about the Deborah Weinswig from CoreSite Research was leading a session talking of, you know,
and we just saw Deborah here, actually. It's a big city, it's a big industry, but it's a small community.
Small world in some ways, right? Yeah. But the, just her talking of, you know, innovation coming out of, you know, Asia Pacific in general, and what's working and what's not. And then, you know, just leading into some of the live streaming commerce that has certainly gotten a lot of attention lately. Although, I think that's where, you know, jury's still out, right? On some innovation like that, you know, is it going to stick or not? You know,
from a consumer perspective, and which brands will win it? And now, Kent, I want to kind of ask you. There's been a lot of changes happening in Asia, and I guess the biggest change, of course, is a move away from the zero COVID idea that opens up a lot of very, very interesting things, travel, just a different perspective. Any early perspective from what you're hearing about any reaction from the market and your community around a pretty big change of direction coming out of China?
Yeah, it was interesting today. I think saw in the news 3% growth out of China, which is, you know,
for them very disappointing.
Very low.
Yeah, very disappointing.
Negative population growth for the first time. Yeah, I won't say ever, obviously, but
I think their planning succeeded oh too well. It's hard to get people to go back.
Yeah, so the zero COVID lockdown was not good in many ways. That being said, there's always interest at the Gulf events in China, Japan, South Korea, Greater China. In fact, I think I heard on the floor here last night that Taiwan is in the conversation with some people, which I hadn't heard that much about in recent years. We're looking at what you might call a China 3.0 opportunity, which is in large part being illustrated or perhaps has been brought to light with the whole live streaming, live commerce, the live shopping that we saw during the pandemic. So whether that was you know, the store associates that were live streaming from their stores because the stores were closed, or just what we talked about in New York, actually, as Jim mentioned with Deborah and the Bamboozer folks, what they're seeing. And what I think you're going to hear more about is this idea that this direct-to-consumer live shopping channel is a direct connection to the consumers in China. And that offers a way around some of the walled gardens of the past, if you will. So maybe you're not paying a toll or paying as much to the marketplace operators as you've had to in the past. Certainly, you know, the marketplaces are going to continue to dominate. At the same time, we're seeing the rise of the specialty social sites as well. Again, very influencer-related, influencer-driven, if you will. So, you know, I do feel that there's an opportunity for brands to kind of directly connect, if you will, with consumers in China. So that's probably one of the bigger topics that we're going to be exploring.
China 3.0, I like the sound of that. So what are we going to, you know, if we head to, I guess this is a two-part question. One, what are the things top of mind? Because the things that are top of mind with the industry become what's on the stage at Guelph,
right,
LA.
Right.
So let's start talking about what's what the, you know, give us a sense of the programming for the event, which also, as I said, gives us a sense of, you know, you guys are tuned in. So what are people thinking and wondering about and trying to figure out?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about what we're opening up with, which is, you know, kind of an interesting executive leaders campaign. It's really what we're calling scaling global distribution via D2C owned and non-owned channels. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, unpack that for someone perhaps not, you know, not native or not in the mix exactly. What do you mean by that?
Some of it is just, it's actually a conversation that we started at Guelph 2018, probably. We had done some research with the NRF, in part because we had heard, talking to some brands who were, you know, honestly, they were bragging a little bit on their international growth. When you asked some questions, it turned out a lot of it was coming through Amazon. So the question became, well, is Amazon your new, you know, master international distributor? Is that where a lot of your, you know, e-commerce and digital growth is going to come from? And they were like, yeah, it looks that way. You know, there's always a conversation, friend or foe, and, you know, I don't think there's an easy answer to that.
Yes is the answer, right?
Friend and foe. But I think what we heard back then was this idea, like, I'm not sure my traditional wholesale partners, again, whether they're, you know, unknown large distributors who are taking containers off of ships and breaking them down into pallets and pushing them out to smaller retailers or trains and chains and things like that. Or we're not really sure if the wholesale retailers, the branded retailers that, you know, buy the B2B shipments and send them out to their stores and franchise and things like that. So the issue that we talked about then was, you know, where's digital? Where's the digital transformation happening with this, at this kind of distribution international wholesale level? And I think largely what we found was that it was mixed. Some distribution partners kind of like the way things had always been, and they kind of wanted to stay in their lane. And, you know, we enjoyed that stay in the lane conversation quite a bit. Others, especially some in Asia, had quickly shifted to what looked like, you know, they were traditional distributors one day, and then, you know, fast forward a month or two, and they're looking like a digital agency. They're selling on marketplaces. They understand content strategies. They understand the power of social. So that's kind of a little bit of the background of the conversation. And, you know, then we had, as like I mentioned earlier, the big boom in D2C, and now people are realizing it's like, okay, as the traffic kind of comes back to normal growth trajectories, there's plenty of people that are back in the stores, and yet they're looking for more of that digital experience. So that's a big, you know, it's kind of unpacking what we're talking about. We've got, you know, three different panelists that are coming at it from, you know, one sells through the franchise model internationally. Another one is more of a D2C brand who has done own channels. And then another one has got a really nice mixture of own channels, D2C, marketplaces.
Interesting.
Working with service providers. A lot of the conversation will be around Europe. I mean, that's probably another thing, Jim, that's a little bit different this year. You know, for years it was hard not to talk about China all day at Guelph events, or we could have easily have done it.
Particularly a West Coast event.
Especially the West Coast.
Geographically a little closer, right?
And so, you know, Europe's kind of where people are looking. Stuff. Another thing we hear a lot about is 3PL.
Let's hang on Europe for a little bit. Jim, you know, we had the opportunity to interview Ira Kalish from Deloitte and chief economist yesterday on Remarkable Retail, and we were talking about what's your perspective around Europe. I mean, it's the first land-based conflict we've seen in Europe, and it is a violent conflict that's not going anywhere. I can't imagine that's not going to continue to be disruptive. So how does that all fit?
Yeah, that's a good. It's a really good question, and I really don't know if we know the answer yet. I think it's still very early on.
There will be rebuilding, and you know, at some point,
it will certainly affect how people are shopping. But I think if you look at even like the UK retail sales numbers, you can see how soft things have been, and obviously our own.
That feels like an own goal, by the way, if you know that term from football.
That is somewhat of their own doing, you know, but it is, I think, related to the broader, you know, continent as well, you know, and certainly we hear that from, again, here in New York for the NRF, you know, we've got a really strong European contingent of our colleagues and friends in town, so just kind of hearing, you know, from them, you know, certainly those macro headwinds, as we've kind of been, you know, calling out, are blowing stronger, I'd say, in Europe, right? And so, again, I think, but overall...
But they got a bit lucky. You know, one of the things I was saying, they got a bit lucky because their weather was fairly mild. They were expecting a fairly economic, a very difficult time because of the constraints in energy, but they, you know, it turned out to be a fairly mild winter so far, and we're already, what is it, almost the end of January, so... Yeah.
That will help, you know, and I do think it is going to act as an accelerant, you know, for the digital retail side of things.
How just, so? Explain that.
I do, you know, feel like that's going to become just, you know, another convenience channel for consumers to be kind of tapping into. Mm. I do feel it's time where cross-border e-commerce is thriving across continental, with kind of intra-European kind of transactions. So I think, you know, those were topics again we covered at our last New York show. Again,
I mean, it's not like we're not at all a political podcast, but as you see, the impact is kind of more. There's more unity within the European Union than there was pre-invasion, almost, right?
It is true, and I think, you know, how that might, you know, spill into practical issues that we were talking of. How do you stage inventory closer to where that end consumer is? And that taps into the same, you know, distribution channels.
We heard some of that in September on the podcast.
That's right. So, you know, I think some of those were good signs, it seemed like. Again, it's really where we hope we get to a stage, you know, where brands and retailers who are have global aspirations, let's say, again, do take a look at, you know, all their different channels, whether they're digital channels or whether they're really traditional offline channels, and how's that, you know, kind of balanced portfolio of those channels kind of going forward. So those are, you know, the areas that, you know, we have lots to kind of play with, you know, in terms of Gulf programming, because I think it's no longer just about D2C e-commerce, right? There's so many other of these kind of middlemen, you know, and we cannot, you know, forget, you know, in for many brands and retailers, they've got, you know, decades-long relationships, you know, with kind of offline distributors and wholesalers. So These are all, you know, just part and parcel of it. You know, I think, you know, we've definitely heard from a lot of brands who are saying, you know, they're doubling down or recommitting to core markets. And I think, you know, this, you know, we could consider it almost an optimization phase, I think, for Europe in general, for at least the more mature brands, you know, selling globally.
Europe is super interesting for, you know, it always has been. But, you know, Kent, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. I mean, you've got many, many retail brands who have exited Russia, which was a pretty big market. We know from past Cold War experience, you know, product still gets into Russia. But leaving that aside, there's a lot of people who have a little less volume in that part of the world that are going to look. Is that where the growth is going to come in, you know, into Europe? Or are people thinking, you know, I used to sell into Russia and now I'm not, and maybe some stuff's trickling in, but how do I make up for that growth?
Yeah, I think it was interesting. It was a side comment at New York that, you know, kind of, you know, we paused and we're like, you know, yeah, where's the Russia money purchasing product? You're seeing it in the Middle East. You're seeing it, you know, a lot of the the wealthier segments of Russia are, you know, they're not in Russia. They're purchasing stuff when they're, you know, on travel, if you will.
But for the average consumer, I mean.
But for the average consumer there, yeah, it's there's not as much cross-border going on. But, you know, there's always been strong trade routes from China. So, you know, what you might see as part of the China e-commerce recovery could be product going into Russia to the, right, you know, the common man and woman, if you will. Something we haven't really looked at, but, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we're probably going to see some pretty decent growth in the second half of the year, which is, again, one reason that, you know, it's great to be able to get the community together in L.A. Yeah. and, you know, get people up on stage and talk about some of the growth, the successes that people are seeing and how they're dealing with some of the headwinds that, you know, that Jim's talked about and you've talked about as well.
What's just in the last couple of minutes, what's what else can they expect on the stage? What have you?
We've got a great fireside. We're opening up in the morning with Michael Rulick, who's the co-CEO of PacSun. Again, those guys have done a great job, largely through a lot of their social and influencer and celebrities and things like that. So he'll be sharing some insights on how their global has been driven, you know, through these kind of influencer type channels. And and we're starting the afternoon off with what we call a truly classic e-commerce growth story. So Ben, who is one of the senior leaders at True Classic, is going to be joining us to kind of kick off, just share the story. I mean,
denim, right? Is it?
It's t-shirts, and they've grown, you know, beyond t-shirts, and it's just really a great brand and a great story, you know, have really largely bootstrapped their growth and have done a tremendous job. So I won't give away the...
Sorry, listeners, this isn't about the show. You're going to have to tune in to the Global E-Commerce Leaders podcast to hear the voice of some of that. And, by the way, importantly, go, because it is... Remind us of that date. We're not done yet, but remind us of that date again. It's coming up
right. February 22nd, so it's Wednesday. It's all day. You know, we'll start off with breakfast, and this year we're going to start with the peer discussion groups that Jim was talking about.
Yeah. And we go into that main session, then we talk about the truly classic session. And
that'll open up the afternoon, yeah. Okay. So we've got a full day of content and conversation, so we're really looking forward to folks coming. Retailers and brands can go to globalecommerceleadersforum.com and click on the, you know, February event, and we make it as easy for brands and retailers to come. So
how do you make it easy? So what does it cost to attend your event?
Well, that would be the easy $0.
$0.
Yeah. So you know, I can't thank our sponsors enough. They're the ones that really allow us to kind of lower all these barriers to entry, if you will, for the retailers.
And by the way,
brands.
I guess we should also say, if anyone's listening on the vendor side, you can't just buy a ticket to come to these events. You need to participate, right?
Yes, we are kind of a retailer-only, sponsor-only model, so we look after our sponsors. And
that's the good news, right? So the other side of that, the very important other side of that coin is, if you are a sponsor, there's not a bunch of other people who have bought in for a few $100. You know, it's a nice ratio. I've always found it's a nice ratio of sponsors and retailers, and the sponsors are really focused, right? They're there because they're there to talk cross-border, right?
Well, they're there. I mean, you know, the expertise is deep in the solutions provided. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these sponsors that have supported us over the years have, you know, they've been doing this as long as anybody. And, you know, they've got retailers and brands that have joined their organization. So it's a really good community. And, you know, we can't do it without our sponsors. And, of course, we can't do it without our retail and brand members as well. So, it really takes a village, I guess, to grow the e-commerce sales.
Book your flights now. Jim, last words to you. Any Canadian content? Any CanCon that we're thinking of? I mean, on the West Coast, lots of traffic going back and forth. There was some CanCon on the stage from what was the Friends of Canada Post were in New York, but any ideas about what you're talking about from that perspective in LA?
Yeah, again, as always, one of the most popular sessions will always be on the Canadian market. If you take a look at most of the Guelph community, which is largely comprised of U.S.-based brands and retailers, easily Canada is the biggest international market, you know, when it comes to their total e-commerce, you know, international e-commerce. So it's always of interest, I think, you know, to our community, what's the latest with Canadian e-commerce. And as we've talked about before, certainly just the rise of e-commerce in Canada has certainly been very notable. So certainly it's a topic that we're always trying to delve into. Where's the Canadian consumer, the shopper, in terms of, you know, their appetite for cross-border? Right now, obviously, there's a foreign exchange, you know, kind of gap that makes it a little more challenging. We've seen that historically over the years. You know, certainly has an impact on that demand, you know, level.
You know, on the other side, love to get your thoughts on this. One of the thing that's making a lot of the news as we think about the implications of this is we've had almost 3 years of record immigration. So we've added, in the past 2 years, almost 1 million new Canadians. And, you know, some of those Canadians, most are coming in and are looking for new brands, looking for new businesses, looking to understand themselves, the market. I mean, there's some percentage of those who are, you know, refugees from the Ukraine who are just looking to get their lives back on their feet. But there's many others who are starting again and bringing already economic, you know, they're bringing, infusing Canada with new ideas. Long way of saying that there's like a million, you know, we're not a big country, right? 30 million people. There's now another 1 million people who know nothing and have, importantly, no brand affiliations. It feels like we should be talking about that somewhere, some way, somehow, a lot more.
I think that's always a really good point to hammer home, you know, with the companies that may not be familiar with the Canadian population as a whole, how it is changing, how the different composition, mm-hmm. you know, really, mm-hmm. really has been evolving. But I'd also want to bring up even a different angle where I think for Canadian brands that are internationally ambitious, let's say, are also, I think, you know, should be kind of on the looking at where is their international selling opportunity.
Sure.
That's work we've done, you know, with Industry Canada. Kent and I have, you know, kind of helped the, you know, in how can Canadian brands, you know, really be targeting like international consumers.
Yeah.
And just really understanding what's our opportunity there, almost knowing, you know, kind of that, you know, they're capped by the size of, you know, the Canadian market as a whole.
Yeah. Canada. Well, so there'll be a bit of Oh Canada conference. And, you know, Kent, I know you always look forward to that. Well, listen, gentlemen, Jim, Kent, thanks so much for joining me on the Voice of Retail podcast. Great to see you both. We're here in New York. We're here at the NRF show. Safe travels back home, Chicago, San Francisco, me to Toronto, I guess, and we'll be seeing you very, very shortly.
On February 22nd, West Hollywood. Thanks, Michael. Really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and follow on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically each week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, The Remarkable Retail Podcast with Steve Dennis, The Food Professor Podcast with Dr. Sylvain Charlebois, and the Global E-Commerce Leaders Podcast. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, growth consultant, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media, and keynote speaker. If you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Safe travels, everyone!